Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, August 29th. We are reading through the life and teachings of Jesus. Today we're reading about Jesus' execution on a cross from Matthew chapter 27. I'll be reading in the English Standard Version, and we're picking up where we left off yesterday with the arrest of Jesus and Peter denying that he knew Jesus. And today's reading records the final hours before Jesus' crucifixion and then his death on the cross and his burial. You'll notice that they secured the grave for Jesus, but the message of the gospel is that Jesus overcomes. He could not be bound and secured in the grave. We're going to read about that with Ed Wells tomorrow. For today, Matthew chapter 27 in the English Standard Version. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus and put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. From the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Thank you for committing yourself to being in God's Word, because it is what brings us ultimate hope and joy. I have just a few thoughts that I want to share with you about this passage. First, it's a very difficult passage to read. And when you think about all that Jesus suffered, it is really hard to imagine. The student ministry has a lock-in coming up on September 13th, and I was thinking about how I felt during those lock-ins when I was in youth ministry, and when 7 a.m. came and the parents were there to pick up their children, and as a chaperone, I was mentally and physically exhausted. This is a silly comparison here, but Jesus has been up all night. He had been abandoned by his disciples. He was beaten, mocked, humiliated, and then we read today about him being crucified on the cross. Scenes from the Passion movie are seared in my memory. When it comes to thinking about Jesus, we don't know exactly how he experienced this, but we know how terrible it really was. Another thing that I noticed was the redemption that came even in the midst of what Judas had done and how awful it was, that there was a little glimmer of hope there, because God's word was being fulfilled even in the midst of such awful circumstances. Did you notice that the money was used to provide a place for the burial of foreigners? And God's word instructs us to care for the foreign-born. If you look at Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34, it says, "Love the stranger as you love yourself." And in Matthew 25, Jesus says, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." And so in somewhat of an ironic fashion, Judas is able to provide for those whom Jesus loves. I don't know, just thinking about that. And then finally, I would love, if you have time, for you to go back to Isaiah 53 and compare it with what you read here in Matthew 27. Isaiah 53 is a prophetic witness to what will happen to the suffering servant. And it says there that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus bore the sins of many on the cross. And while we sometimes try to dull the pain of our sin with our vices, Jesus would not accept the wine mixed with gall. Rather, he took on the pain and the suffering of our sin. And we will read tomorrow that he was raised triumphantly, defeating death and the grave. Will you pray with me? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Thank you, Jesus, for enduring the cross. Thank you for the reminder of Psalm 22, when you cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You were saying for us that you felt forsaken. But if we read on in that psalm, we know that you were raised triumphantly and reminded that God never leaves you nor forsakes you. And we can have that same promise that you never leave us or forsake us, Lord, because of Jesus, who took on, who bore our sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for not feeling like you had to defend yourself. Help us, Lord, to be those same kind of people. Help us to know that judgment is with the Lord, and help us to entrust ourselves to him. And just as a little reminder here, help us to be kind to the foreigner and the stranger in our land. Help us to be a people who seek to provide for them. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as we go forward in faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.